Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we start the learning about the halachas of baking the matzah. This is Simon Kuf Yud, the 110th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Up till now, we've looked at the necessary precautions made for the water that's used for baking and the grain, which is used for the flour. We're now going to look at the convergence of those two as we bake the matzahs. We're going to look at five basic concepts today. That is the oven used for baking, the mixing of water and flour, kneading the dough, and baking the matzah, and finally the intention. Let's jump in straight at the top. The oven used. This first section is actually not as applicable to today's reality, and that's because today we are so blessed to have the money necessary to create these beautiful facilities to create matzah factories. In the old days, it wasn't so simple. Therefore, the first question is: can I use an oven that was used for chametz to make matzah? I didn't have another oven that I could use. I simply had the same oven. Can I use it for matzah? The answer is yes, but it needs to be kashered through a process called libun gomor. What is libun gomor? It means a complete heating. This is the highest level of kashering that is possible, and it requires it that the walls are heated to such a level that sparks will be flying from them. And this is achieved by taking burning hot coals and moving it along every surface of that, to the point that the walls and the floor are literally emitting sparks as well. How is that achieved today? Just for ovens that we deal with today, we are getting into kashering regular ovens in full detail, but that is the same process which is achieved through a self-heating process. We're talking about 900 to 1,000 degrees. So it's a very significant temperature for this to work as well. Okay, and after a libun gomor, can it be used right away? The answer is no. It needs to cool down, be cleaned out, and then it needs to be relit and can be used for the matzahs as well. Is there any other way? So there is a process of resurfacing the floor, because remember the matzah oven or any oven was essentially a clay dome of sorts, and it was resting on the ground, and you'd put coals in the inside and heat up that cavity to very high temperatures. So if they were to resurface the floor with at least a thumb thickness of new earth and clean it out, then the walls itself would be cleaned through the process of the oven being activated after this cleaning, and the floor has been replaced, that would be sufficient. Again, these are things we don't have to deal with as much today because we have facilities specifically set aside for matzah. And if you had the opportunity of using a new facility just for matzah or trying to repurpose a chametz oven, most people are not going to go for the repurposed oven option. Okay, let's jump straight into the next concept. That is the mixing of the water and the flour. Are there any precautions when measuring the flour? The answer is yes. When you take the flour, you need to be sure not to push it too deeply into the measuring cup. And the reason is because you don't want it to be, there's going to be clumps of flour that later on in the kneading process are not going to be mixed with the water and therefore remain as clumps of flour. Those later on could be opened up, and let's say they're not baked properly, then those clumps of flour could later on mix with liquids and ferment and turn into chametz on Pesach, God forbid. Where do the water and the flour go? So if you ever go to a matzah baking facility, it really is a remarkable experience to see this in action. They actually have two separate rooms. There's these two chambers. One is the water chamber, one is the flour chamber, and then between the two of them is a little gap. And in this gap area is where the mixing will happen, the beginning of the kneading process begins. And there are windows between these two rooms. So the window is open from the flour, the side the flour is taken out. The window is open from the water side, the water is added. But the two shall meet. So it's only meeting in this kneading process. And that is an extra precaution so that no flour, you know, will be floating around near the water and mixing into the water or vice versa, splashes of water, which might end up in the flour area. Can we touch the flour? So it's best to avoid direct contact with the flour with hands before it is kneaded, and the reason is because it will heat it up, and also because it could compress it in such a way that there'll be pockets of flour, which will later on prove to be a problem. Are there any specs needed for the kneading container? The answer is yes. It should be a clean container that has no cracks or holes to avoid the flour getting caught there, remaining there, and fermenting or later on fermenting. can we just keep making the dough for the matzah? I mean, can we just keep adding water and flour? The answer is no. This process resets itself every 18 minutes. If you go to a matzah bakery, you'll see that there's a clock on the wall. And when this process begins, the moment the water and the flour come together, that's when the clock starts and the 18 minutes start moving. It's the kneading process, then the rolling process, the holding process, the baking process. And that goes on for 18 minutes. Once 18 minutes hits, an alarm or a bell goes and everything is cleaned. All surfaces, all rollers, all kneaders, all containers are cleaned. All sticks are cleaned and the process has to be restarted. The reason is because once the flour meets the water, we want to make sure that within 18 minutes, all that dough has been completely baked. There was never a chance for it to rise. And that means to say, even if there is dough which remains and is not yet entered the oven, that dough is discarded. Okay, what if a little bit of spice, some salt or some lime falls into the dough? Those items can help ferment dough faster, and therefore that dough needs to be discarded. What if a grain of wheat is found on the dough, sometimes when the dough wasn't fully sifted? In that case, the grain can be removed and a finger's breadth of dough around it can also be removed, and the rest is fine. What are some things the kneader of the dough needs to remember? He needs to remember there should be no moment where the dough, meaning the flour and the water, have met each other. They are not being kneaded. That means to say that he needs to work fast and consistently until he hands it off to the rollers. Now, what happens if he takes he kneads the dough, he kneads it well, he gives off balls of dough to the rollers, who are going to now turn these into round matzahs. What if some of the dough remains? There's not enough rollers of the dough to deal all of it at once. In that case, he needs to carry on kneading the remaining dough and to stop it rising until a roller can take it from him as well. What must the rollers focus on when they're rolling the dough? So they cannot have any dough on their hands or on the surface, and they must wash that off beforehand, and they need to work quickly. They should also not be aiming to make any specific shapes out of the dough, because that again will slow them down. The point over here is flattening it to a point that it is completely flat. There's not going to be any rising. We move to our third concept, and that is kneading the dough. Five basic questions. Where does the kneading of the dough need to take place? So it cannot be in exposure to sunlight. That means to say it has to be in a roofed facility, and it cannot be near a window where the sun is shining through. Also, the house should not be warmed when doing this, because again, temperature will contribute to the expediation of that fermentation process. What if the sun is not shining through the window at this time? So if it's an open window, just a cavity in the wall, it's still a problem, even if the sun's not shining. But if it's a glass window and the sun is not shining, then it is fine. How big should each dough be for kneading? It should be less. The dough, meaning the flour and the water mixed together, should not amount to more than 2 pounds, which is a sheer challah, or 10.3 ounces or 1.2 kilograms. Why is this? The answer is because if it's that big, then it can't all be kneaded at once, and so one section of it will be left unattended more, and that rising will start there as well. If one is kneading a bigger size dough, can we add flour to just make it easier to knead? The answer is one has to be careful about adding flour afterwards to larger sections, because if one adds flour to the dough, that some of that flour might not get kneaded in if it's a larger section. If it's small, it's fine. But if it's larger, it might not get kneaded in, and that flour later on could perhaps survive the baking process and then later on be mixed with the liquid and ferment and turn to chametz on Pesach, God forbid. Our fourth concept is baking the matzah. We're going to look at 8 basic questions here. So after it's rolled and it's flattened, what comes next? So then there's a machine which is used to hole it. So you roll over it to make holes in it in order to prevent it rising, and then it's sent to the oven. When putting it in the oven, how is this done? So usually if you go to a matzah factory, it's amazing to see. They'll drape all these rolled and holed matzahs, which are these thin circular pieces of dough, over a long pole, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. And then this pole is run straight into the oven, which is exceptionally hot. They rolled off the pole onto the surface in a line of the oven, and they're left there for really even less than 30 seconds it takes to bake the matzah, because the matzah is so thick and the oven is so hot. and then they are pulled out. One thing which is necessary to remember is that the matzah needs to, should not be waiting around the entrance of the oven, because the entrance of the oven is not hot enough to bake it, but it is enough to start the fermentation process. So if you watch this happen, the skilled bakers, they run this into the oven. So they take the pole and they go straight in. So there's no time that the matzahs are getting extra heat without actually being baked itself, which is why it requires a degree of skill, and also it should be a person who's a Yirei Shemayim, fears heaven, who takes this seriously enough. What other precautions does the baker need to take? So he needs to make sure that the matzah does not fold over itself, nor do ones touch each other. Why is this the case? That's because in that folded or touching area, it could be that particular area is not fully baked. If it's not fully baked, then that area is going to might rise to be dough and become chametz. What if there was a fold? So I take the matzah out, it folded over itself, so that area should be broken off. The rest is fine. What if the two were found touching? So b'di'evet, in a post-facto case, one can be matzirut. Many people are machmir in these situations. What if the matzah split so that there's a lower and upper layer of the same matzah? So if the gap between the two layers is more than a thumb, that's called matzah nefucha, and it needs to be broken off, and the rest is fine. How long must it remain inside? So it needs to remain inside so that it's no longer considered dough. It's the way that it is described over here, the way to the siman, the indication of this, says the kitzur, is if you're to break the matzah afterwards, there it should be a clean break. There should not be any stringy dough connecting the two. Again, this takes a very, very short amount of time in order to be achieved because of the heat of the ovens that we deal with today. What if I pulled out the matzah and it turns out it was undercooked in such a situation? And then that needs to be discarded, and even the pole or the instrument used to remove them it cannot be used further for matzahs. Finally, we move to our last topic, which is the concept of intention. Is the consumer, the person who's buying the matzah, involved in this process? So technically speaking, it is a special manner. It's considered a great thing if the consumer, if the person themselves were to come and be there. And many Gedolei Yisrael would do this. First of all, to be involved in oversight, but also to be actually involved, to be a part of the making of their own matzahs as well. This is not possible for most people, but if people have the option, they're near matzah bakeries, this is a very special thing. Is there any special intent needed for the baking? The answer is yes. The matzah needs to be baked. The whole process needs to be by people who are Jews, who are boys who are above bar mitzvah, girls who are above bat mitzvah. And it needs to be that the whole process is understood to be l'shem matzah mitzvah, and therefore articulated so as such. So when the clock is started, everybody says l'shem mitzvah matzah, because the matzah which is consumed in the first two nights of Pesach is a special mitzvah, and it needs to be done as such even throughout this entire process as well. So when the clock restarts, that's when people say this, and then that process has now the combination of not just expertise, but also intent to make the matzah. So one can see a lot goes into the making of our matzahs. You want to know why matzahs are so expensive? Because there's a huge amount of work that goes into the water, into the grain, into the baking process in order to ensure the highest level of assurance that these matzahs are free of chametz as well. Last point is that can one bake matzahs on Erev Pesach or on Pesach itself? Some people take great pride in making matzahs on Erev Pesach. The one thing one should be aware of, and the Kitzur points out, is technically speaking it is allowed, but there are much greater chumras which are levied upon such baking, because the baking at such a time is fraught with danger. Because if, let's say, we're baking matzahs a month out from Pesach, and let's say that it's a bad batch and there's some things which need to be taken off because there's chametz, no problem, you just remove those sections. But if you're doing it on Erev Pesach, or you're doing it after the Zman Biur, or on Pesach itself, and something untowards happens, and it turns into chametz, you have a real problem, because you just created chametz on Pesach. That's a very serious concern. So therefore, there's a lot more chumras which are involved in that, and most of the matzahs that we deal with are matzahs which are made before Pesach and before Erev Pesach. With this, we conclude the very fascinating halachas of baking the matzah. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.